As we always like to hope you guys check us out on the Valley Outdoors. And where else, Don?
On Facebook, of course.
Yeah, Facebook, of course. That's a good place to have that. And lots of cool information on both places. And I keep talking about it, but that interactive site's always cool. Oh, you know what else I can find on the site?
Place to register.
Yeah, place to register. What are you register for, Don?
Well, an opportunity to go fishing with you or I or one of our hosts.
Uh-huh.
In September.
Which will be fun.
It will be a hoot. This is going to be an adventure.
Looking forward to it.
Yep.
Going to be going up to Loon Lake Lodge, right?
It's Loon Lake Waterfall Cabins.
There you go. Loon Lake Waterfall Cabins.
We're going to go over a boat portage.
Yep.
We're going to stay by waterfalls. And we're going to fish Loon Lake, maybe even Lac La Croix. Another boat portage to do that, but it might be worth it. And we'll probably eat some fish.
That's always a good thing.
Yes. Nothing better than a good walleye fry, so.
I would agree. That's always cool. So you can register on thevalleyoutdoors.com.
Register down daily.
Yep, every day. And you slide down to the part where it says fish with us, I believe is what it area
yeah,
is.
Yeah, it won't be hard to find if you scroll down.
Click on it, and you're going to be able to lock in and get her done.
Yeah, four lucky winners, individuals.
Yep.
It's not a trip for two. It's just a trip for one. So get registered, and later in August, next month, we'll be drawing the winners out, and we'll be giving you a call, and hopefully everything will work out for you to go along.
Perfect. We like that. Sounds good to me. Jumping into I think it's kind of a, what would be the best way to put it, topical story for the season, but something that I think people really need to be aware of is water safety across the board. Recently, we had an event this last week in Red Wing with a family, which is a very unfortunate scenario where some people were out in the river, a shallow area on the river, and one person kind of went off a ledge, it dropped to about 8 or 9 feet from 3 feet, went under, and another two went to save that person, and they weren't able to do that. They disappeared. The one person, apparently one of the dads went out to rescue
his daughter
that was still, you could see her, pulled her back to shore. Then he went back in the water, and he and his two sons passed. And, they did find them, which is good.
Yes.
But a sad deal story comes out of Florida. A teen died after being thrown from a jet ski while not wearing a life jacket. And in this particular case, a 17-year-old and a 15-year-old were on a single jet ski in Florida, and they learned that the older teen made an abrupt turn, causing both of them to get ejected. 15-year-old was wearing a life jacket, made it back to the jet ski before looking for the 17-year-old. No success at that point. The quickie alerted others in the area. They called 911. The 17-year-old was not wearing a life jacket and ultimately was found in 20 feet of water not far from where he fell off the jet ski. So, you guys, it's a silly thing, but get a suspenders. If you're going to be in a boat, you're not planning on swimming, get a suspenders, put it on. You don't even know you're wearing it. It's the simplest thing to do. It's going to make your summer. It's going to make the rest of your life. If you ever fall over, it makes it simple.
They automatically inflate.
Yep.
So you don't have to do anything. If you go in the water, it automatically inflates. You're referring to like the horse collar type.
Exactly.
Which is very small. They're very non-intrusive. So
yeah. It's got a little cartridge, and it inflates when you hit the water. You don't have to do anything for it, and it works. It's nothing, it doesn't have to be anything major. If you don't want to go that way and it's too expensive, go for the thin mesh version that you can wear, and it breathes easily, and it's nothing. It's also obtrusive. It's got pockets all over it. But just anytime, if it's bumpy, nasty, or horrible, and you're not comfortable, or if you're not comfortable in a boat in general, get it on. It doesn't do any good sitting.
Just get in the habit of putting it on always.
Yeah, it doesn't help to wear it after the fact. So that's the big thing. All right, so let's jump into the story. I just teased a little bit before the break. We're talking about the turkey season, and the numbers have come out on what happened with the turkey season, and it is the second biggest harvest in state history.
You're talking Minnesota?
Okay. Yeah. Right behind the 2020 harvest, which was the pandemic year, they killed 13,000, over 13,500 turkeys. And yeah, isn't that crazy?
I wonder how that compares to other states.
I don't know, but I do know that it's only less than about 300 less than 2020, which is a record. And
so you're saying if I had gone out and got my turkey for 3 years in a row, it could have helped them break the record?
Yeah, you could.
Oh, man. Yeah. I didn't know that. It's not too late. There's fall season.
Here's the cool part. The average is over, it was just at 10,700, and they were, you know, 13, almost 14,000.
You know why?
Because people are hunting rather than doing other stuff.
No, because there's more turkeys.
Oh, wow. He's brilliant.
There are a lot of turkeys.
There are a lot of turkeys.
Well, it's 137.7% increase in the harvest. It's the biggest increase they've had in decades. And I will say, pretty impressive. There are 46,000 licenses done.
46,000 licenses and only 13,000 turkeys?
Right. Think about this, though. In 2020, there were 63,000. So understand what the numbers are, exactly what you're saying. The numbers have increased in the harvest rate, even though you had less hunters.
Wow.
So pretty impressive. I will.
That's good. I mean, it's good for the outdoor world.
Also, a surprising stat was there's 21% more non-resident licenses sold.
Wow, in Minnesota.
Exactly.
You know, Wisconsin's really huge with turkeys too in the southern half of the state. So, but yeah. I'll tell you, when I was on my way to Canada here a few weeks back, I was surprised how far north I was seeing turkeys.
Oh, I know.
They're up Grand Rapids, up in that way. It was amazing.
Yeah.
I didn't know there's turkeys this far up.
Oh yeah. Well, they're getting pushed, kind of like the other ones, the other big animals coming down south.
Yep.
You know, the piglets.
or the big furry ones.
Speaking of piglets, let's not be pigs on time. Let's hold off on that. We're going to come back. Hang tight. We're going to talk a little bit about the Outdoor Heritage Alliance dissolving or disbanding. Hang tight. Eric Olson here, professional walleye tour champion, avid outdoorsman, and host of the Valley Outdoors Radio Show. Aquatic invasive species, or AIS, threatens not only our rivers and lakes here, but everywhere we boat. They come in many forms, and they love to hitch a ride to the next body of water on your boat or trailer. Join me to stop the spread of AIS by cleaning all weeds and aquatic material from your trailer before leaving the launch ramp. Drain live wells and clean areas that don't drain completely. Plus, don't forget to pull the plug. Clean, drain, dry. Together, we can make a difference.
Hey, Don.
Hey.
You, do much hunting?
Not enough.
There is that too.
Yep.
You been out west before?
I have a couple times.
And you know, a lot of times you get out west, I mean, you can get into some massive sprawling land area and find yourself in a situation where you're coming up to a quarter, and a quarter is a measurement of land.
Correct.
For those of you that don't know.
Quarter section, you're talking.
Quarter section. And many times there's one section that's going to be posted, or part of it's a section is another section's posted. But the only way you can get through a particular area is to cut across a corner of or whatever that area is. Well, there's big controversy out in Wyoming on this. And a Wyoming judge just recently ruled in favor of corner crossing hunters. This is out of Casper, Wyoming. A federal judge ruled that four Missouri hunters did not trespass when they crossed, corner crossed and passed through the airspace above this gentleman's Elk Mountain Ranch in Wyoming. The district judge said granted the hunter's request to dismiss most of the lawsuit that claimed the men trespassed and caused more than $7 million in damages. The men corner-crossed in 20 and 21 to hunt public land and meshed in his ranch, his 22,000-acre ranch. Corner-crossing involves stepping from one piece of public land to another at the common corner with two pieces of private property. All arranged in a checkerboard pattern, corner-crossing avoids setting foot on private land. Make sense?
I understand what you're saying, yes.
Okay. The ruling has implications for public access to 8.3 million acres of corner-locked public land in the United States. And hunters argued that the Federal Unlawful Enclosures Act of 1885 prevents the ranch owner from obstructing access across the corner. So the only way you can cross it is to go over just that section of the, again, the area of the land.
Yep.
The judge's rule did not address the disputed allegation that one hunter did set foot on ranch property at a spot well removed from one of the several contested corners, a digital waypoint that they created on the 20th during an Onyx hunting app. We talked about the apps, right?
Right.
Onyx. And it's located on his property, the ranch owner says. This proves Smith was on the ranch, and the landowner and his attorneys have alleged. They said it could have been made from anywhere, meaning you can make a waypoint and not be on that particular part of the ranch. So we could be at home. We could make a waypoint on that particular spot. Doesn't mean that you were there.
Physically.
It just meant that's probably the place to make notation of where to cross. And needless to say, when these gentlemen did the crossing, they observed respect to the corner crossing issue. There's no evidence that the hunters made physical contact with the private land or caused any damage to the private property in either 20 or 21 season. The judge also agreed with the ranch owner that he generally owns the airspace above his property and he's entitled to use it, but it's not exclusive to that alone. And that is crazy, Don, when you look at all this.
Are you telling me somebody hired an attorney to fight this?
Yeah. Even when the judge summarized and analyzed a relevant court precedent, included that corner crossing on foot in the checkerboard pattern of land ownership without physically contacting private land and without causing damage to private property does not constitute unlawful trespass. Even when a hunter's grabbed two Elk Mountain fence posts chained together as an obstacle at the first corner when they encountered it, they swung around them to step from the public land to public land. They were protected by that particular ruling, which prevents landowners from blocking access to public land. That's crazy.
Yeah, that's...
I mean, it's getting to the point of a little bit extreme in my mind.
I mean, it'd be one thing.
$7 million in damage.
Yeah. And how do they calculate that? You don't. It's not there's no way. The only way you can create $7,000 in land damage is if you burn it, tear fences down, and lose cattle and something, who knows what else.
I mean, if they went through there with a bulldozer or something to make a trail,
yeah,
you still couldn't come up to that number.
Footprints caused $7 million worth of damage.
They didn't. But anyway, I thought it was a crazy story. So understanding a lot of people out here hunt out west, so that has kind of taken precedence, and I think that's going to be a big help. So, story out of Minnesota. Minnesota Outdoor Heritage Alliance Board has resolved to disband after nearly three decades. The nonprofit Minnesota Outdoor Heritage Alliance was the largest coalition of hunting, fishing, trapping, and conservation organizations in the state. The mission was to protect, guarantee the right to pursue hunting, fishing, and related activities across Minnesota and for every citizen of Minnesota. The unfortunate part was that the reason it disbanded was they couldn't find anybody to help influx people, personnel. Dave Carlson, the group's president for more than 6 years, had informed the member organization that he could no longer serve as president past 2022, combined with the continued difficulty in filling board posts, the MOHA was not moving forward. And during the meeting in Hopkins recently, the seven-member board found quorum to resolve the resolve to disband the quorum or the group. So several years ago, no one expressed interest. They changed the bylaws so that Carlson could remain as president, but no one has stepped forward. They have led many different things in the outdoor world. They led the passing of Amendment 2, which is a so-called right to hunt and fish ballot initiative in 1998. It also played a key role in passing the Legacy Amendment sales tax dedication, and that was decades later. And I'll tell you what, Don, that was a big thing as far as getting having outdoor funding that provided the state with money that they didn't have that we could go towards outdoor projects, whether it's fisheries or wildlife and habitat, whatever that might be. So, it's a difficult thing. So what do you think about that, Don?
Well, it's most unfortunate hopefully something will step in and take its place to represent, the outdoorsmen in our state. And, maybe there's some other states that have a similar type group that would lend some.
Yeah, the tough part about it is in reading through what I see, I'm not seeing, it's going to take a while to come back from that.
Well, there had to been some major corporations involved with it, and you would think that they would lend some guidance as far as how to proceed or go further with it.
Well,
maybe it needs to be a different organization.
Yeah, and I see that happening, but I don't think it's going to happen soon enough. I think it's going to be gone.
Well, this organization sounds like it's going.
And I think the difficult part from my side of the fence is when you look at what's happening, it's scary because when a void is formed, then there's a good excuse to get rid of another element that was associated with the void. And in this case, the Legacy Alliance. And that's what I'm afraid of. You see this piece that's been utilizing Legacy Alliance, and it's just not working. And then it becomes a difficult scenario when you end up having...
Well, let's hope for the best.
...parties, so... Yeah, let's hope for the best. And hope for the best for everybody out there this weekend. Hope you guys have a great time outside. Enjoy the outdoors. For Don, Ava, and myself, we are the Valley Outdoors. Join us next week. Hope to see you soon.